Father in heaven, we're just thankful that we can be here tonight. We thank you for Brother Jim and for his ability to teach and the knowledge that he has to pass on. We just pray that you'll continue to touch him physically and give him many more years of life. We thank you that we can spend this time together this evening again, and we ask you to be the teacher for our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for all your prayers and all your phone calls and patience. I'm stuttering a little bit, as you know. I get to where I can't say something because of the stroke. And I didn't even know I had a stroke for a few days. I guess I was wandering around in the twilight zone for about 2 weeks. I didn't know what I was doing, just blundering around. And anyway, I got better, I guess. My eyes not drooping quite so bad as it was, and my face, but I tell you what, this is a hard thing. 10 and verse 5. These next few verses remind me of me. Hello, Brother Corey. All. Ook. En. Tois. Pleiosin. Auton. Udokesin. Ho Theos. Tate Tro Theson. Gar. En. Te. Er. Remu. Now, we were going to read the Amplified Bible to begin with and bring us up to this. I said the last time, Rebecca, are you busy?
No.
Okay, could you read the 10th chapter, verses 1 through, if you could come here and do that. 10, 1 through 5. 10, 1 through 5.
For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our forefathers were all under and protected by the cloud in which God's presence went before them, and every one of them passed safely through the Red Sea. And each one of them allowed himself to be baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were thus brought under obligation to the law, to Moses, and to the covenant, consecrated and set apart to the service of God. And all of them ate the same spiritual and supernaturally given food. And they all drank the same spiritual supernaturally given drink. For they drank from a spiritual rock which followed them, produced by the sole power of God himself without natural instrumentality. And the rock was Christ.
You want to read 5 also?
Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness.
All right. There's where we are. We're up there to that point now. But not in the majority. All right. The majority of them didn't make it into the promised land. Only a few of them made it into the promised land. Just a few. How many made it into the promised land? Huh? All of the children, and Caleb and Joshua. All right, there are those. Not very many made it into the promised land. All the rest of them were laid low. Okay, let's go and look at this. Yes, Brother John. The Levites. I think all of them did. I think all of them, except for Joshua and Caleb. Except for Joshua and Caleb. And you know the Levites. They were in a lot of trouble with the Lord anyway, weren't they? What did those boys do when we studied the book of Genesis? What did Levi and Simeon do? Remember, they went up to Shechem, the city of Shechem, and converted the whole city to Judaism. They circumcised all the men. Then 3 days later, they went up there and murdered the whole lot of them. Murdered every one of them. And that's Levi and Simeon. And because Levi did that, what happened to Levi? What was the curse to Levi? They had no inheritance in the land. No inheritance in the land. All right, now this goes back to Numbers 14th chapter. And Let me read all this through, then we'll go back to the book of Numbers again. But not in the majority that plea all seen of them, he was well pleased. Only two of them. Did Moses make it into the promised land? Wait just a minute. Now let's think just a little bit. Did Moses make it into the promised land? Not during his lifetime. Did he ever make it into the promised land? On the Mount of Transfiguration, he did later, but he was dead. All right? He died. And the Lord buried Moses on that mountain, didn't he? For he saw the promised land, Mount Pisgah. He buried him upon that mountain in a cave. And what happened? What did the old devil do when God buried Moses in the cave? What did the devil do? The devil tried to take Moses' body. Probably was going to make give it to Israel and let them worship him. Okay? But we know that, according to the book of Jude, that Satan and Michael fought over the body of Moses. Okay, that was there. Okay, so he didn't make it in. What happened to Aaron? What happened to Aaron? What? Rebecca?
He went up
on a mountain. He went up on the mountain up there because Aaron did what he did. You know, Aaron was a goldsmith. And he rebelled against God and rebelled against even his brother. And remember his sister? What happened to Moses' sister? God turned her into a leper with leprosy, and then he healed her from it. But, it's a bad thing for taking place right here. And all of these examples, all these bad things that are happening here are for what? Our examples. All right, our examples. Not he was well pleased. Third person singular, first heirs, and indicative active. Absolutely, he didn't judge it good. That comes from eudokia. You on the front of that is good, and dokia means to judge. And the God... Look at this. Kates thro theson. That comes from kata and thro nemi. That means to overthrow. We just had a great big storm in the East Coast, didn't we? What's the name of that storm? Sandy. It was quite a storm. This wiped out a lot of things. That's exactly, this shows the idea of a hurricane or a tornado coming in and just wiping out and laying everything low. It means to lay low. To lay it low. He laid them low in the wilderness, it says. He laid them low. He overthrew them. He laid them low. For in the desert, in the wilderness. Now, we know that Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land. And they were, how many spies all together went into the promised land? 12. Okay? And a bunch of them came back whining. Let's go back in the book of Numbers and just look, because this is what we're talking about, okay? If we don't go back in the Old Testament and get this, we've lost it. Because that's what Paul's talking about. Numbers, the 14th chapter. If I can find it in my Bible. Well, as you go on down to verse number 20, 14 and verse number 20, so the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and signs, which I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, yet I have put me to test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Surely, and shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers. nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. It's talking about all these people now. These are the ones that he was not well pleased with, okay? But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me faithfully, I will bring into the land which entered in his descendants, and I shall take possession of it. Now, Joshua and Caleb went into the land. And let me find out where I was today. Joshua and Caleb went into the land, and where did they go? The land of the giants. The land of the giants. Remember that? They went into the land of the giants. Where was that? What city was that near? That's where Abraham was buried. He was buried in the land of the giants. Okay? Buried in the land of the giants. That city is Hebron. All right? Up in that area, it's up on a hill, and in that area is where the giants were. And Joshua and Caleb went into the area where the giants were, and that was the area that they wanted. They said, give us the land. We'll go in there and we'll whip them. Joshua and Caleb said, we can whip them because the Lord is with us. He is not with them. We can whip them. And then the other 10 people, they went into the other place. Now they only saw those giants over there. How tall were some of these giants? 9 foot tall. There was one of them that David whipped later on. Wasn't it? Who was that? Goliath. Now, these were all Nephilim. Nephilim. All right? These were all Nephilim. What does Nephilim mean? Comes from Nephale. What? Fallen ones. These were the fallen ones. Many people think in Genesis, the 6th chapter and verse 1, these is where the angels married into the human race with women. And they raised these monsters. And in the flood, many people believe, came because of these people. And if you read the book of Enoch, it says that they were... This is where all the vampire stories come from. They were drinking people's blood. They were eating. They were killing animals. And animals were not given for food at that time at all. Period. They were slaughtering animals and killing them, and they were depopulating the earth, according to Enoch. All right? And they tested the Lord. They tested the Lord. So Joshua and Caleb said, let us have it. And they wanted to go in where the giants were. And they got to go in and take the land where the giants were, too. That's the land that they wanted. And they were the only ones. And these were old men when they went into the land. Eighty-five years old when he claimed possession of that land. Moses, God puts asleep. He kissed him to sleep, as Brother Farrar said, and buried him in that mountain where he looked at the promised land. He got to see it, but he didn't get to go into it. And why did he not get to go into the land? Aaron made the golden calf. And what did Aaron name the golden calf? It had a name. What would Aaron name the golden calf? Huh? What did he name the golden calf? Brother John, you remember? Rebecca, you remember what he named that golden? Brother Randall, you remember? What?
Jehovah.
He named that calf Jehovah. He said, this is Jehovah that took you out of Egypt. Boy, does that make your hair stand on end? Does mine. That scares me. And he said, and then Aaron said, well, I just threw the gold into the fire and out walked the calf. I just threw the gold into the fire and out walked the calf. And I'm going to tell you something. He was a goldsmith. By the way, we know that the sons of Aaron, many of the sons of Aaron today are the goldsmiths in the world. Did you know that? Many goldsmiths down through the ages, gold and silver smiths. He took and he carved an image of a calf, one of the calves that they were worshiping down in Egypt. They said, get us a god that we can see. And he carved this image out of wood, and then he took the gold and beat sheets of it, and it's what you call gold and silver are malleable. And you can beat on it. Dakota, have you got that ring I made? Is it on your hand? No. I took some silver coins years ago and I made rings out of them. You know who showed me how to do that? Just guess. They used to do this in prison. Guess who showed me how to do it? Huh? No, not Sam Paul. Dale Remling. It showed me how to do that. I could make one out of a dime and a quarter. You just punch a hole through it and then just beat it on the end of a sharp deal and roll it around, and you can make it's malleable. You get gold. He took all of their earrings and everything, and he put it in the fire, and he melted it, and then he made gold plates, and he beat it around, those beaten gold plates, around this calf. And he said, "This is Jehovah who brought you out of Egypt." And God was mad, I can assure you. Anyway, he ended up costing Aaron his life later. Then, remember when they... When Moses' sister rebelled and spoke against Moses, God struck her with leprosy. Then he healed her. And she wrote the song of Moses. Remember the song that she wrote? Of Moses, which we have in the scripture. And then there was a guy by the name of Korah. Remember him? Korah. What does Korah mean? Remember what that means in Hebrew? Bald-headed. Bald-headed. Korah. Korah stood up and he stood against Moses, and in that day, how many people died? Remember how many people that died? The earth swallowed them, and the fire of God killed them. Huh? 23,000. It says 23. Paul says 23,000. It was actually 24,000 that were killed in that day. These are all for our examples. They didn't believe God, and they would not obey God. Okay, they didn't believe God, and they would not obey God.
Well, the people doing shortly after he made that.
Well, he made that. They were sitting down and eating God's food, and then standing up and dancing in idolatrous dances.
Was it the licentious?
Yes, that's it. Aselgia is the word in Greek, which means basically dancing. They were dancing around the idol, and you have to realize that the half of the pagan worship had something to do with sexuality, prostitution. In Corinth, you know, as we studied this, we find out that the temple of Aphrodite and all that, this was all prostitution, had sexuality, and that's what was going on around that golden calf that they were calling Jehovah. All right? Let's go on a little bit further now. God slaughtered them in Jude 5, Hebrews 3:17, Numbers 14 and 16. By the way, he quotes the Septuagint here. He does not quote the Hebrew, he quotes the Septuagint. Numbers 14 and 29 and Numbers 14, 39 through 45. 10 and verse 6 now. 10 and verse 6. Halta. They tupoi. Timon, Eg Ne Thason, Ace, To, Me, Ene, Himas, Epi, Themitas, Kakon, Kathos, Kakenoi, Epi, Themeson. Now, 1 Peter 5 and 3, 1 Timothy 4 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 7, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 9, Romans 5:14, and Hebrews 9:24, Numbers 11:34, and Psalm 106 and verse 14. Cross-reference of this. Types from the Old Testament. Acts 7 and verse 34 also. Moreover, these things types of us. Look at that. Types of what? That's first person plural. First person plural. All right? That's types of us. Are we like those people back in the Old Testament, aren't we? Oh, yes. We're just like them. We live and breathe and wallow in evil just like they do. Just like them. Take an example from that. They were lusters of evil. Types, tipo. Tipo is what it comes from. Type, writer. Typewriter is right out of that. Typos. Typos, in John 20 and verse 25, John 20 and 25, it uses this exactly like what it's talking about here. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John looks at Jesus as what? How does John look at Jesus? Huh? As God, Jehovah in the flesh. All right? John 20, verse number 25. 20 and verse number 25. And he kept on saying to him, the other disciples, "We have seen the Lord." But the one, he said to them, "Unless I see in the hands of him the teepole." My body is filled with scars. That's all I am, is scars, I think. Scars are marks. Right here across my face is a footprint of a horse where it cut me, just like that. Kicked me in the face. This here is cut half in two. These are teeth holes, people. It's teeth holes. All over my body, there are teeth marks of prints of a horse's teeth and shoe marks all over here and there. And bullet holes and knife marks from here and there. Those are marks. Those are teeth holes. Now, when Jesus, he was crucified on the cross, wasn't he? And they drove the nails through his wrist, right here. Didn't drive them through the hands, not this part of the hand, but right through the carpal tunnel. And right there, there's a carpal tunnel surgery mark. See, that's a typos there, too. That's a typos. All right? Right there. Both through his hands. And then what else did they do? They drove a nail through his feet, and it left a T-pulse, a print. A print. And in his side was a sword mark, right by his heart, where it stabbed him into the heart. And those are T-pulse. Those are marks. All right? Ton T-pone to alone the nails. And I will throw the finger of me, and I will throw, volo, that's what he says, and I will throw the finger of me into the marks, into the scars, into the marks, the T-poles. And know not, I will believe unless I do this. Know not, I will believe unless I do this. No, is what he said. No. Now, that's a double negative in English, and that's bad grammar. But in Greek, that's very strong. That's emphasis. Okay? John 20, 25, a blower hit. Some of our lives are formed by blows, aren't they? Some people can wander through life without getting too many blows. They really can. And other people look like they've been through the battle for 70 years without ever stopping. There was an Indian, a Chickasaw Indian chief, and he's part of my family. He fought a war for the United States government as a warrior when he was 90-something years old. Finally, Andrew Jackson dislocated all the Indians in the Indian Removal Act. He died on the Trail of Tears, I think, at 106 years old. He died on the Trail of Tears, the Chickasaw Trail of Tears, going into Indian Territory. And he had fought in wars. He was a warrior. And he fought, Tishomingo was his name. Tishomingo, Oklahoma, I believe there's a place called Tishomingo. There's a place in Mississippi called Tishomingo. He fought in many wars. They said he was a warrior full of scars from those wars. But he went on. One of the oldest warriors. They couldn't believe how strong he was when he was 90-something years old. 90-something years old. Still fighting wars. Moreover, these things, types of us, they kept on being. All right? Or they were. Kept on becoming is what it was. They had become. Unto the not to be us, to hold upon the mind to lust after evil. Let's don't lust after evil. The Adamic, the fleshly things. Just as those indeed just as those indeed they kept on holding these things upon their minds, or they held these things upon their minds. Epienthemio. Epienthemio. Ten and verse seven. Mayday. You know, that's a sign of distress, isn't it? Mayday. Idolatria. Or idolatre. My mouth does not say talk like I want it to sometimes. Geneste. Kathos. Tenes. Alton. Hesper. Gagropte. Ektathisen. Ho. Laos. Fagain. Kai. Payain. Kai. Anes. Anestason. There was one of my stopping talking fits. Pausing. Moreover, not is what that says there, neither. Idolaters. Look at the word idolaters. Idolatria. Tria. Idolatria. The word idol's in there, isn't it? What does idol mean? What's idol mean? Image. All right. Image what? Image what? Image slaves. That's what it says. Image slaves. I took, on Thanksgiving Day, we went over to the Madonna Inn for lunch. If I quit talking, it's my problem, okay? My throat won't work. I apologize for that. We went over there and I stopped at San Miguel. I lived in San Miguel in 1965 and 66. And lived in a little old shack over there of a place. But there's one of the oldest missions in the state of California, the oldest original missions there, that is the San Miguel Mission. And in that mission, you go in there and you see all the stations of the cross. And basically all of these missions that the Catholic Church and the Spaniards had put in the state of California were all slave plantations. An Indian off of the slave plantation was game. Big game hunters. They would go after them and kill them and murder them. Anyway, in these slave man plantations in there, you go around. How many of you know what the stations of the cross are? Nobody? Oh, Brother Roger, you know what the station? Were you in Catholicism one time? No, you just know what the stations of the cross. They would get down there and they would bow down on their knees and they would go through all the stations of the cross. And they learned to say these things. And they would bow down and they would kiss these images. And in there was a great big baptismal font made out of a very large abalone shell. And they would go and they'd sprinkle, and you'd go in there when we went in there. There was holy water and all this kind of stuff. We went in there the other day. You go in there, and then you bow down, and you bend your knees to all of these idol stations. You become servants to idols. Israel, when they were down in Egypt, became slaves to idols. Slaves to idols. Slaves to them. They served and they slaved for idols. Neither idolaters, slaves to idols, ye become. You stayed that way. Look at that. And what voice is that in down there? Look at that voice. Second person plural present. What is it? Middle voice. When you're in the middle voice, what do? That's what you're doing for yourself. That's your volition. That's your choice. All right? Your your choice there. That's your volition right there. Don't become idolaters. Don't become slaves and servants to idols. Don't wait on idols. Wait on idols. How many of you like to serve idols? There are people that serve idols. In the Catholic Church, in the Buddhist shrines and all, they go and they serve idols. They do this. This is how they worship God. They serve and wait on idols. They take offerings to these idols. And the idols can't eat anything, can they? They're just an idol. But they put the food there. They make different offerings. Flowers, all kinds of things to idols. Just as some of them, even as it has been written, each one now, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active, each one sat down. The people. Ho laos. That's nominative singular, masculine, indefinite article. See that right there? Laos, that's people. The Catholic Church calls the common man the laity. The laity. Okay? That comes from this Greek word. The people to eat. Now lay that down. Now who was providing their food for? This is down here at the foot of Mount Sinai now. Let's go back to Sinai. This is down at the foot of Sinai. Where's Moses? He's up on the mountain, still talking to God. He was up there. How long was Moses up on that mountain? I was thinking now. How long was he up on that mountain? All together. 80. Over 80 days. Without eating. All that time, by the way. Or drinking. Moses was up there. Think about that for a while. God was sustaining him with his glory and his presence. That's what Moses... When Moses come down off that mountain the second time, what happened? He'd been up there for 80 days with God. And when he came down off that mountain, he was shining like God. He had Shekinah glory on him. He had the presence of God rubbing off on him. And they made him put a what over his face? A veil over his face. Because they were afraid of him. Alright, they were afraid of him. Now down here at the foot of the mountain while Moses is up here, now this is the first trip he made. Alright? This is the first trip he made up on the mountain. The people sat down to eat and to pain, that means to drink. They ate and they drank. And they stood up. Now this word's only used one time in the New Testament right here. That word is pazain. That means to play like a little child. Have you ever seen a child just spontaneously play? Have you? Just spontaneously play. And jump around and just have a ball. I remember when Dakota was little. I remember when Noah was little. We had a playpen in here for him in this room when he was little. Dakota, when she'd get up and just dance around. She had these shoes for about that long. There's some twins girls up in Fish Lake Valley, and they had outgrown these shoes. Well, Dakota's feet would fit in the toe of the shoes. And I don't know how she did it, but she put her foot in there, and then she'd get up there and then she'd watch TV, and she'd watch that Free Willy or something on television, and she'd be up there just dancing around, clicking her feet on with those shoes. She thought they were really, really neat. I still have them someplace, Dakota. There were two pair of them. She wore out two pair of them with her feet stuck down in the toes of them. Just dancing around all over, just going along with the music and just having a ball like a little kid would. These people were not dancing. They were dancing like little children in Exodus 32 and verse 18, but they were dancing around this golden idol. And with great joy, they were calling that idol Jehovah, and they were going on with their idolatrous worship that they had done down in Egypt. God just doesn't mix that together, does he? He was pretty mad about it, wasn't he? When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, from the first time, he brought with him the tablets of stone, didn't he? No. What did he do with them when he saw the people? He threw them down and broke them. He was the first man to break the law, so to speak. Okay? The first man to break the law. But All he did was figuratively what they were doing in reality. He threw the stones down because they had broken them. And he said, you have broken the law, and there it is, in pieces, just like you are. You people are in pieces. You're thrashed. You have thrashed your whole future. And every one of them died, didn't they? Every one of them died. Joshua and Caleb wasn't part of that, were they? Even old Aaron was. He was even part of it. They stood up and played like a little child and festival idolatrous actions. And that's present infinitive active. They ate and drank God's provisions, and then they stood up and fornicated with all of their idolatrous worship and play. 10 and verse 8 now. 10 and verse 8. Mayday again. For new omen. Kathos. Tenes. Alton. Eparnusan. Kai. Epesan. Mia. Hemera. Ekosi. Tres. Heliades. Neither may we fornicate. Look at that word subjunctive mode there. What does that tell you again? Had it in the middle voice before. That's up to you. Neither may we fornicate. Just as some of them, they fornicated. And they what? They fell. Pepto. They stumbled and they fell. In one day, 23,000. The actual number was 24,000. Numbers 25, 1 through 9. Baal Peor, in Numbers 25, 1 through 9. Prostitution was part of the worship of Aphrodite. Remember that? All right. 10 and verse 9. Mayday again. Ek pay epar. Boy. Can't talk. Ek perazomen. Ton pirion. Kathos. Tenes. Alton. Ex e pyroson. Kai. Hippo, ton, ophion, apolonto. Boy, Israel really had a rough time in the wilderness, didn't they? They had a rough time in the wilderness because they were a rough bunch. Neither may we overtempt. Again, what mode is that? Subjunctive mode. We may or may not do that. Neither may we overtempt. Look at that word, ek on the front of it. Overtempt, ek parazo, the Lord. The Lord there is accused of singular masculine. See that omicron nu on the end of that O-N looking thing? Ton kurion, the Lord. Who's it talking about there? What Lord is this? What's the word in the Old Testament for Jehovah when you look in the Greek? It's kurion. Kyrios or Kyrion. So this is talking about the Lord. This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about Jehovah. All right? Neither may we tempt Jehovah just as some of them, they tempted him. Third person plural, first aorist of dictative active. They tempted him. And by the serpents, they kept on being destroyed. And by the serpents, Ophion. What's the word for serpent in Hebrew? Nahash. Say that together. Nahash. Now, when God created that serpent, that Nahash in the Old Testament, he was a beautiful animal. The Nahash is the king of all the beasts, according to the Hebrew scriptures. the Nahash is king of all the beasts, not the lion. And this king of all the beasts in the millennial reign, right here, during that, the lions and the wolves and everything, what are they going to act like during the millennium? We know we're not in the millennium because the lions and the tigers and all of these aren't laying down with the lambs, are they? They're going to eat grass. They're going to eat straw like goats and sheep and cows. But over here, what was the curse that was placed upon Nahash in the garden? The Hagan. Huh? He would walk upon his belly. And over here, that curse was so strong because he was the head of all the animals. And the most beautiful thing. How many of you ever seen snakes? If they didn't give you the creeps, the bad, they're beautiful. You know that? Their colors and everything. You ever go into a reptile place? They shine and shimmer, don't they? They can just sit there. That serpent over here is going to be walking on his belly still. He's not upright. In that garden there, it says, and Nahash became more evil. Arom. More evil. Ra is the word for evil. He became more evil than all, more deceptive than all of the beasts of the field. He became more deceptive than all of them. More deceptive. By the way, this word aphion there, that's in the plural. In Greek, it should be aphion, except this is ionic. Ionic. In Ionia, the Greek language was made up of dialects originally back in the years before we even know as Greek was being formed. It was made up of different dialects. The Attic is Athens, and Ionic is Ionians. Okay? These are all little kingdoms, and they had special words, and this is the Ionic word here. They kept on being destroyed. By serpents, they kept on being destroyed. What about these fiery serpents? What about these? Remember them, about them? Rebecca, what happened? The fiery serpents. Israel sinned, and what did God do? He sent snakes, serpents among them, the Nahash. He sent snakes among them. And when they would bite, they would burn like fire. And what else would happen? They would die. They'd die. And these were the color of shiny brass, like a copperhead. Have you ever seen that copperhead? They're shiny looking snakes. They were shiny like that. All serpents kind of shine to a certain extent, but this was a very shiny, brazen, polished looking serpents that went among Israel that God created especially to go and do this job. And he had Moses do what? He had Moses make a brazen serpent, a serpent out of brass, and he put him on a pole. And anytime you walk into a doctor's office, you will see a pole with a snake on it. Okay? And what did they do if they would look at the serpent on the pole? If they look, all I had to do was look, and they would live. Isn't that beautiful type of salvation today? What can you do to get to heaven? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But if you look to Jesus Christ and Him alone, that's it. That's salvation. I remember Brother Bill Hawkins, you know, he came in here. We've known each other for 40-something years, I guess. And his family, you know, my grandfather killed his family back in Paul's Valley. That's when he went to prison for 10 years. Old Parker put him in prison was over Billy's far distant relative. Anyway, we worked in church. I worked in one church and he worked in another church, and we were competing for little kids on the church buses and everything. Billy went to this church over there. They never talked about security of the believer at all because they didn't believe in it. They were what you call pure Armenians. What is Armenian, Brother John? They have no security. You have to do something every day to get to heaven. You have to keep on believing and keep on doing things to get to heaven. There is no security. We believe in security of the believer because salvation is a done deal. Okay? A done deal. Billy came to my class, and Brother Mike, you were listening to him back in the book of Revelation or John's class or something, and I didn't remember, I didn't even know his name at that time. I hadn't learned his name. But he came there for 3 or 4 years. He came in my class, and finally, at the end of one of the classes, he came up and just hugged me with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Today, I know that if I die tonight, that I'll go to heaven." He said, "I love it." He said, "I never had security in my life ever before. Never knew if I die. I go to church all these years. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all this time. And I never went home at night and went to sleep. The worrying, whether I was, if I died, whether I was going to go to heaven in the morning or not." He said, "Today I do. Today I do." He said, "It's wonderful. It is wonderful to know that you're going to go to heaven." Brother John.
So we can correctly say that the serpent on the pole represents all the sins of the world.
Yeah. Dumped on Christ. He the brazen serpent, brass is what? Brass in the Old Testament and in the Bible is a type of what?
Judgment.
The judgment of the whole world was laid upon Christ. And on the cross of Calvary, right up there, your sins were laid upon Christ. My sins were upon Christ. And if we'll only look to Him, we are saved. That's it. Look to Him. Depending upon Him to save us. Depending upon Him to save us. Just as some of them tempted the Lord, and by the serpents, they kept on being destroyed. Many people in the world today, what keeps you from being saved today? What keeps you from being saved? That's right. The old devil. And demons. Demon spirits work with lost people like the Spirit of God works with saved people. If you talk to somebody and they don't want to be saved, they don't want to come to the Lord, what's happening? They're allowing Satan to destroy their eternal chances of being with God. Eternally. If you look and believe, you'll be with the Lord. If you look and believe. 10 and verse 10. 10 and verse 10. Mayday, again. Paul is fond of that word, isn't he? Gogizete. Kataper. Tenes. Alton. Ego gison. Kai. Apolonto. Hippo. Tone. Allo. Through tone. By the word, that word allo through tone there is only used one time in the New Testament. One time. Oh, thank you, brother. That may be the only thing working.
I don't.
Neither ye murmur. Murmur. Remember, Aaron murmured. Moses' sister murmured. And the people murmured. And Korah murmured. And a lot of them murmured. Even as some of them, they murmured. And it was, by the way, it was their last murmur. That was the end of it. And they were destroyed. They were destroyed. And look at that word there. What voice is that in again? That is third person plural, second aorist. What else? Middle voice. Why were they destroyed? Because of their own actions. They were destroyed. An indicative mode is a mode of statement of fact. That's the way it is. Middle voice, indicative mode, by the destroyer, the Olethros, the destroyer. Jehovah, in this instance, was a destroyer, wasn't he? What happened down in Egypt? I know you've heard this 1,000 times. But down in Egypt, 10 plagues came upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And even some of the plagues were even upon Israel. At least they were there. So many of them didn't affect them. But even the Egyptians had a way out, didn't they? There was a mode of grace offered to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were a type of what? Type of the world. Even some of the worldlings could get saved if they would. Even some of them could be saved if they would. And they said, your cattle out in the field, I'm going to send hail, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Get them out of there. The Egyptians could believe also. And some of them that left Egypt were not all Jews. Some of them were Egyptians. Because some of those Egyptians were saved. And most of the churches today, most of the people in God's churches are Gentiles. We're the worldlings that are saved. The worldling. Very few Jews are saved today. Very few Jews are saved. Neither he murmured as some of them murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, that tenth plague was what? What was the tenth plague in Egypt? Huh? The death of the firstborn. All right. Now, who killed the firstborn? Huh? Who killed? The what? Who did it? Jehovah himself. The death angel did not fly over Egypt. The death angel did not fly over Egypt. It was Jehovah himself. You go find the death angel someplace. Just look him up in every place you can look him up. You're not going to find him. Yet people say the death angel was the one who passed over Egypt. No. It was Jehovah who passed over Egypt. Jehovah destroyed. Jehovah destroyed Korah. He destroyed all these people. Jehovah put Moses to sleep. Did he not? Jehovah put Moses to sleep. Numbers 16 and 41, 17, 5 and 10, and 16 and 49. Exodus 12, 23. 2 Samuel 24, 16. 1 Chronicles 21, 15. And Hebrews 11, 28 are all cross-referenced to this. Rebecca, do you mind coming up and reading that? What was it from verse 6 on through 10? That word, gogizete, by the way, that's a word, onomatopoeic word, onomatopoeic word. What does onomatopoeic mean? That's something just comes out. Ow. Ooh. That's what it is, an onomatopoeic word. All right, Rebecca. Up to number 10.
Now, these things are examples, warnings, and admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal things as they did. Do not be worshippers of false gods, as some of them were, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink the sacrifices offered to the golden calf at Horeb and rose to sport, to dance, and give away to jesting and hilarity. We must not gratify evil desire and indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 suddenly fell dead in a single day. We should not tempt the Lord, try his patience, become a trial to him, critically appraise him, and exploit his goodness as some of them did and were killed by poisonous serpents, nor discontentedly complain as some of them did and were put out of their way entirely by the destroyer death.
Oh, thank you. By the destroyer. Now, Jesus took away the worst enemy we have, didn't he? What enemy did he take away from us? Death. All right? We still have to die. We still suffer daily. Well, some of us do. Especially if you've been poisoned with arsenic and mercury. That's suffering. I'm going to tell you something. You want to kill somebody, give them some arsenic and mercury. If you don't like them, that'll work them over, I'll tell you, every day. We have to die in this flesh. If the Lord doesn't come back in the meanwhile, we're going to have to die. But that's just once. You only taste death once. Because the second death doesn't affect us at all, does it? And we have eternal life. That old body, this body, is wore out bodies are going to stand up again. Anastasia, stand up again. And we'll stand on our feet again and look at God and see Him with our own eyes. With our own eyes. With our own eyes. Well, thank you for your attention today. And we'll start out in 10 and verse 11 next week. 10 and verse 11. And where did we start? 10 and 5 through 10, didn't we? Thank you for your prayers. Continue praying for me. As you can see, sometimes I cannot speak. I just can't make my mouth work. And that's from that stroke. And continue praying for that too. And that we'll get these machines working again one of these days. Brother David, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer, brother? Come right up here so we can...
Okay, our Father in heaven, we worship and praise you tonight in learning your word. Guide us through the week to come, that we may be examples and walk the narrow path that you have set before us. We give thanks for the word we received tonight, and we give thanks for Jim's health. And walk with us through the week, O Lord. We pray in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.